Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Program call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. Got a lot of great information I'm going to share with you on the call today that will help you to get into action to be able to leverage technology to increase sales. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and up to 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. And to ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call today is out on Facebook, and you can join me out in the Facebook group, Technology Training Program call. Just simply click on the link that's in the email message that I sent out earlier today, and that will give you an opportunity to be able to post a quick message there. And I'm going to do the same thing myself. Okay, I'm popping a quick message out there as well. And let's also set a comment goal for today's call, and let's just shoot for 15 comments to start with. We'll see how far that gets us. Okay, now, the Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems to generate leads and earn sales. And we focus in on sales technology tools that you can use in your business. There are 12 modules of content. And you can also access the recordings of our calls out on the membership page. And again, you'll find the link to the membership page in the email that I send out each week. Now, one thing I want to let you know is that including today's call, there are two calls left. So this week and next week, and then the program is done. So you should have had an opportunity by now to go through this program multiple times over the last year. All the content is recorded. You can access it online. And I want to encourage you, as we're wrapping up this program here, to think about what are you going to be doing in the next year? What are you going to be doing to leverage sales technology tools? And I can tell you that I've done a lot just in the last couple months in terms of leveraging technology tools online. And I've been implementing new systems. I've been getting new technology tools like video equipment. And every day I'm looking for how can I take what I have today and leverage it even more. And even stuff that's not directly sales related, I look for ways to leverage those tools in my business. Now, today's topic we're going to get into in just a moment is on webinars, teleseminars, and Google Hangouts. So we're going to focus on how to create more visibility online, how to do selling one-to-many. How do you create multiple sales at once? And I'll just give you a quick example. Today, I have earned six sales. Now, that's not a normal day for me. That's a little bit higher than normal. But one of those sales was generated over the phone. So it was just strictly a one-on-one presentation to someone. And actually, it wasn't even a presentation. It was a conversation where we were catching up on some things, getting things done. And an opportunity opened up. And I took advantage of that opportunity, and that created a sale for me. So that was one sale there. Another sale came in through an email that I sent out earlier today, and that email was actually automated. So I had actually developed a email marketing campaign and had everything scheduled last week. The email message went out today, and that brought in a sale. So that was automated. And then the other four sales came in through a webinar that I did earlier today. So I did a webinar this morning, and I presented an opportunity for a training program, and I had four people sign up from that. So that was six sales that came in today. And it was kind of funny because I was just messaging one of my friends and saying, yeah, it's been a slow week, you know, referring to the last week, haven't had any sales come in. And sometimes it's like that. You might go for a period of time where you don't have any sales. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, pop, 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 I have six sales happen in one day. And you just have to keep the faith. You have to keep the faith and keep doing the things that you know will work. But in the case of five out of six of those sales, it came through direct contact with potential customers or with existing customers. In one case on a phone call, another case on doing a presentation on a webinar. The other one came in through automation through email. So does technology work? Absolutely. You know, in one case, I'm talking over the phone, and the phone is a technology tool. In the other case, it was doing a webinar. In the other case, it was leveraging email marketing. So all six of those sales came in some form through the use of technology. It wasn't just sitting down with someone over a cup of coffee, talking to them and having them sign up. So I leverage technology all the time in my business, and I encourage you to do it as well. And you know, what's nice about that is it's repeatable and it's duplicatable. All I have to do is do what I know works, and I just continue to do that over time. See, generating sales consistently is just about consistent marketing and sales. It's about consistently doing the things that you know will produce the results. And, you know, sometimes it takes some experimentation to figure out what works and what doesn't. And then once you know what it is, then you just keep doing it over and over and over and over and over. I think about my mentor, Eric Laufholm, and think how many times has he done, you know, certain presentations. He's done them over and over and over. He just, his job is just continuing to find new people he can present to, new people he can talk to, new people, new groups that he can go out and share a message with. And he just does that consistently over time, day in and day out. And I think that's one of the things about business that people don't understand is that you just have to do the right things day after day consistently over time. And sometimes you'll go for a period of time where you have a little bit of a dry spell, and then other times it's just pop, pop, pop. You just get sales happening right and left. And that's pretty exciting. So just keep doing the things that produce results. So on today's webinar, our call, we're going to be talking about webinars, teleseminars, and Google Hangouts. How do you deliver these presentations one to many? And I have found that event marketing is one of my favorite strategies to implement. And it works for a couple of reasons. Number one, it works because it adds value. When I do a presentation, I take about 45 minutes to 50 minutes to share content, information that adds value. And I take about 5 minutes at the end to share an offer or an opportunity. And, you know, that's a good ratio there. It kind of falls into that 80-20 rule. 80% of what you share should be content-oriented, and only 20% should be promotional. And so by focusing on adding value first, then it makes sure that I have satisfied people. The people attending my webinars, my teleseminars, my Google Hangouts, they're getting information, they're getting value, and then that makes it easy for them to take a next step. So what are you doing to add value? What are you doing to educate people? What are you doing to share content and information with people? Keep doing that over time. Do that consistently. The other thing I like about webinars, teleseminars, and Google Hangouts is it helps you to build trust and rapport. Building trust and rapport is great because what that does is that creates a tighter bond between you and a person. And what's interesting is you can have that bond even if you don't know who they are. They can feel that bond with you because they have been part of your presentation. And, you know, there are so many different strategies that you can implement online where you can add value. So you can write blog posts, you can write articles, you can create videos. Videos are a great technique, and that's something that I'm implementing in greater number right now in my business, creating more and more videos. And events are great because you have a longer period of time with somebody. There's also a value in doing events where people are live with you. When you're doing something live, that actually helps to increase the opportunity to create scarcity and urgency while you're on an event because it's live. So if you can do things that are live, that will oftentimes produce better results than if you're doing something that's just strictly automated or recorded or something else like that. Now, one of my early mentors was Michael Port. He wrote a great book called Book Solid, and he wrote a follow-up to that called Beyond Book Solid. And he's been out there lately. I've been seeing him posting some Facebook ads now, and so I'm kind of seeing what he's doing. But I remember reading his book, and one of the things that he mentioned was he said, always have something that you can invite people to. Always have something that you can invite people to. And I liked the idea so much that I made it really kind of a core foundation of my marketing. So like at any given point in time, every single day, I always want to make sure that I have something coming up to invite people to. And like, at, you know, prior to today, I had something. I had a webinar that I did earlier today. But now I've got a gap, so I've got to get something else scheduled. So I'll be working on that later today and getting some additional things scheduled. So that concept always just keeps coming back to me. It's like, okay, what do I have coming up? Oh, shoot, I don't have anything coming up. I better get something scheduled. And so then I have to sit down. I have to think strategically. I have to look at what I've done before and select a topic that I can present on. And what's great is I've done so many different topics in the past. I don't really need to come up with anything new. I probably will come up with some new things over time, just coming up with new content. But I have enough other content that I can just simply pull something off the back shelf and update it. And I do that all the time. In fact, the webinar that I did earlier today, I've probably done about 7 times in the past. And it works. You know, all I have to do is deliver the presentation. So if you don't have any presentations you've done before, then you've got some work ahead of you. And I had to do a lot of work up front to create presentations. And I invested the time and energy up front, and now I'm able to reap the results. So in this case, I have a webinar that I've done, you know, 7 times before, did it again today, and, you know, generated another 4 sales. Had 4 people enroll in my program, and that's exciting. So I know these strategies work because I see it happen all the time, and that's great. And so you have to just step into your greatness. You know, come up with a topic. Come up with something that you can share, and then go ahead and get the message out there. Invite people to your webinar. There's a lot of technical aspects, and this is kind of where the technology comes in to make a webinar happen. And let's kind of look at the different technology tools that you need to make a webinar happen. Well, first of all, you need some kind of a webinar tool. I mean, for a webinar to be a webinar, you need people to be able to view your screen. So the tool that I use is called GoToWebinar, and there's also a version of it called GoToMeeting, where it doesn't have the registration piece, and it allows you to have only a smaller number of people. But that could be a good option to start off with. And so you have the technology for the webinar. Then you have a PowerPoint presentation. You're going to need something to share. The whole point of having a webinar is that you can show things on your screen. And this is kind of the main difference between something like a Google Hangout, where it's more of a video stream, it shows you on camera, versus something like a webinar where you're showing a PowerPoint presentation. Then you have the technology to get people registered for your webinar. So you have a registration page, you have a success page, you have an autoresponder message. So you need both a website and you also need an email marketing system to make that happen. Then there might be some additional bonuses or other things that you're offering, or you know, what are you going to offer at the end of the webinar? So maybe you have a product or service or a program. So you may need a sales page where people can go out to. Or maybe you're going to use it as an opportunity to book an appointment. And so you use something like TimeTrade to book appointments. So look at all the different technology tools just to do one webinar. So there's a learning curve there, obviously. You need to start down that road, start down that learning curve to get things done. And I know Alan Murphy, who's on the call today, he recently participated in a webinar. And Alan, if you want to share some things that you learned from doing a webinar, go ahead and post them out in the Facebook group, and I'll read those a little bit later. So go to the Sales Technology Training Group, and then go ahead and post a message there and let us know your insights on that. By the way, speaking of the Facebook group, looks like we're already up to 15 comments, so we already hit our goal for today, and I can see Alan is out there posting a lot of comments. So great job, Alan. Keep them coming, and I'll go out there and read those in a few minutes. Now, so what's the big deal about hosting events? Why would you want to do it? Well, there's a couple of reasons that I host events. Number one, I know that in many cases, when people first come to me, they're either attracted to my website, they you know click on a link, go out to my website, read some blog content or something else, find a free offer, click to opt in, now they're on my email list. So in order to move someone from being a prospect into being a buyer, then they're probably going to need a couple touch points with you over time. Maybe it's a conversation where you pick up the phone and call them. Maybe it's going out watching a video. Maybe it's reading a blog post. Maybe it's attending an event. So events are part of the process of moving someone from being a prospect to being a buyer. And events allow you to educate people. And I think there's a value of having people learn what it is that you have to teach. Because then over time what happens is that when you're having conversations with them, they already understand the conversation. They already understand what you're talking about, rather than you getting on the phone with somebody and they have no idea what you're talking about. That's a confusing conversation to have. But if they've been through some of your training, then they might repeat back some of the things that you told them. It might be top of mind for them. Now, there's an order and a sequence to developing events. And when I plan out a webinar, oftentimes I'll work on the marketing for an event first before I actually get into action to create the content. And I'll go through a step-by-step process here in a minute on how to plan a webinar. You also have to master the event technology tools. There's a learning curve. And if you are trying to learn how to do a webinar the first time you're doing a webinar and you've got people on there, then it can be a little bit frustrating. It can be confusing. And one of the things I like to say about doing webinars is you have to be able to multitask. Like, you have to be able to talk, like, you know, have an idea in your head and communicate that information, and at the same time, for instance, be checking on social media and reading what people are sharing. So you're speaking. It's like you've got, it's like your brain is doing multiple things at once. You are sharing ideas off the top of the head, top of your head, and as you're talking, you're reading ideas that other people are posting. At the same time, you're also having to deal with the technology. Like, what happens if somebody says, I can't hear you or I can't see you? Now you have to respond to them. Or, maybe the webinar drops for you and, like, it's no longer showing your screen. And people are posting messages out on social media saying, I can't see your screen. And then you've got to go and post a message to say, I'm logging back in. And then you've got to restart, you know, GoToWebinar or whatever else it is. So it's almost like there are three things that you have to multitask between. You have to actually lead the webinar, because you can't really just stop and just say, okay, well, hang on, guys. I'm going to stop here for about 3 minutes while I read your comments. That doesn't work so well. If you think about, like, radio shows don't like dead air. Why? Because people tune out. People change the channel. You don't want dead air on your webinar, because people will just drop off and you'll lose your people. So from the start, you just got to start talking and keep talking for like an hour. And that can be a difficult thing for people. Most people aren't used to talking for that long. And people who are public speakers, they're used to being able to talk to people. But here's the thing. If you're a public speaker and you're doing like a live event, if you stop speaking for a moment, they're not just going to get up and walk out of the room, because you're right there. But on a webinar, they can't see you. And if they can't hear you and can't see your slides, then you're disconnected from them. That's one of the reasons I like creating a connection through social media. If I have a problem, I can always go back to social media and I can post a quick message, let them know I'm having technical difficulties, I'm working on it, that type of thing. So that's one of the reasons why I take a few minutes at the beginning of every webinar to encourage people to go out and connect with me on social media. And even for the people who don't, if something happens and there's a problem, oftentimes they'll pop out to social media and go, what happened? What happened to Rick? So they know where to go, because I've already told them a couple times to go out there. Now, another technology tool, by the way, you have webinars where people can see your screen. You have teleseminars, which is strictly over the phone. Somebody is listening, you know, over the phone, or in some cases there might be like a web version of it where they can listen in. And by the way, you can also do a teleseminar through a webinar tool. I've done that sometimes where I will use GoToWebinar, and so people register and they'll get a phone number they can call in on. They can even go out on their computer and look at my screen, but I'm not going through a set of PowerPoint slides. I might have one slide up there or maybe two slides I rotate between, but I'm not really using the visual component. I'm just having them really listen in. And then the other option is for the Hangout. So Google, which of course owns YouTube, they've made a heavy investment into video. And so a Google Hangout is where you can basically host a presentation where it's you live on camera. So it's kind of like think of it kind of like a TV show, except instead of having people in the studio, You know, it's more like on CNN where you see them where they're interviewing people. We're talking to Susan Smith, and she is live on scene, you know, and somebody's filming her. Or, you know, sometimes I'll do it where they have people calling in through Skype. And so they're doing like a video Skype chat on CNN with somebody. So that's a Google Hangout. Now, on a Google Hangout, you can also share your screen. So there is a capability to be able to actually show a slide there as well. There are also tools that integrate in. There's a tool called Webinar Jam, for instance, where you can host a webinar through Google Hangouts. That's another technique. So let's talk about how to plan a webinar, because here's the thing. Unless you – first of all, if you want to do a webinar, I just recommend that you decide to do it. You know, something magical happens when you make a decision. So you might not know anything about doing webinars, but if you make a decision that you're going to do a webinar in 90 days, and if you put a date and time on your calendar for that webinar, and if you put a post-it note up on your mirror, and then you start working on it, that webinar is going to happen. It may not be the best webinar ever, but it's going to happen because you set the goal, you set an intention, and you started working on it. So first of all, when it comes to planning a webinar, determine your outcomes. What is it that you want to accomplish on your webinar? In most cases when I do a webinar, I share an offer at the end. I have some type of a program that I'm sharing, usually a training program. And so I'm using the webinar as an opportunity to add value and then encourage people to register for the program. Now, so you want to get clear about what your offer is. And, you know, maybe you have some type of a special offer. Maybe you have a discounted price, or maybe you're going to offer bonuses or something else in relation to that offer. Select a topic. What is it that you're going to talk about? And create a compelling title. What is the title of your webinar? And there's a difference between a topic and a title. Like my topic might be social media, and then my title might be how to prospect for clients on social media. So the topic is kind of like the broad range topic, and the title is what you're actually going to call it. It's what you're going to use to announce your webinar when you begin promoting it and inviting people to attend. So select a topic and then create a compelling title, then create an outline. And there's a real simple formula that you can use for hosting your webinars. It's the formula that I use. I learned it from Eric Lofholm. And it is intro, outcomes, chunk one, chunk two, chunk three, call to action. Intro, outcomes, chunk one, chunk two, chunk three, call to action. So the intro is where you first introduce yourself, where you tell your story, your personal story, and you also explain what's coming up in the webinar. What is it that you're going to share? You also, so the next step is the outcomes. The outcomes really are laying out what's the reason that you're doing the webinar. And so usually I will share two outcomes for my webinar. I'll say something like, my first outcome is to share a lot of great content on how to grow your business using social media. My second outcome is to extend an invitation to participate in an upcoming training and mentoring program. And I'll share all the details at the end of the webinar. So those are your outcomes. Then your chunks are three main ideas. Three is a magical number when creating content, so you can't go wrong with just coming up with three ideas to share. It's just a question of how deep you go into the content. So in an hour-long webinar, you're probably going to share about 10 minutes per chunk. So that's about 30 minutes of content, kind of core content in your webinar. It may go a little bit longer than that as well. So think about what you can talk about for 10 minutes at a time. Another best practice I utilize is at the end of each chunk, then I also share a story. So I share some type of a customer story at the end of each chunk. And then at the very end of the webinar is the call to action. That's where you share your offer, you explain all the details, and then encourage people to sign up. Now, after creating an outline, then it's a good idea to create a script. And you can create a word-for-word script, or you can create a detailed outline, or somewhere in between. at any rate, it's probably a good idea to work on creating a word-for-word script for the offer at the end, because that is usually where you want to have the most persuasive language at the very end of the webinar. And that's not to say that you might not say other things along the way in the webinar that would prepare people for your offer at the end, but certainly at the end, you want to make sure that you get that right. You want to create your PowerPoint slides. In the case of a webinar, you need PowerPoint slides. If you're doing a teleseminar, you don't need slides. You just need your script. If you're doing a Google Hangout, then you may have some slides that you share, but it may just be you on camera, or maybe you and somebody else on camera the whole time. Schedule the event using webinar software. So there are many different tools that are out there for doing webinars. I mentioned GoToWebinar. In the corporate world, they like to use WebEx and also ASAP. A free tool that you can look into is AnyMeeting. In fact, I just looked at this recently. They've actually made some changes, and they've actually cut down the number of people that you can have on a webinar if you're using the free version. It used to be you could host quite a bit more, I think, and now I think it might be somewhere in the range of about four. And I think the price has gone up a little bit, too, on the paid version of it. But AnyMeeting is an option. There's also Join.me. And there are many others that are out there. You can do your due diligence, ask around, see what's available, and see what would work best. I've used GoToWebinar for many years. I'm very satisfied with it. I haven't had any major problems with it, and it works fine for me. And, you know, one of the things I like, the difference between GoToMeeting and GoToWebinar, one of the main differences is in the registration piece. Because what's nice is I have a page where people can go and register for the webinar. And then they will automatically receive reminder messages before and after the webinar. And that's cool. So that saves me time. Otherwise, I'd have to write those email messages myself and send them out myself. So this saves you time and effort. Then market and promote your webinar. That's probably one of the most critical components is you've got to get people onto your webinar. So you're going to have to spread that message far and wide. And you're going to need to experiment to see what works well for you. Like most of the time when I host a webinar, all I do is I send out maybe one or two emails. I'll create a Facebook event and invite people to it, and that's about it. So I'm not doing a whole lot else. Sometimes in the past I've done Facebook ads. Sometimes I've promoted it through services which will post it out to other websites. But most of the time I just do the minimum, you know, the simple, basic, notify people about the event, share it a couple times, maybe on a couple of social media sites, and that's it. So really what works most effectively here is if you build an email list on an ongoing basis of people who want to learn from you. So again, number one, you have to position yourself as an expert. You have to add value over time. And in doing so, then people will want to stay connected to you and learn more. So get started on that. All right, it is the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to pop over to the Facebook group and go ahead and read some of the messages there. Wow, we're already up to 32 comments. Great job, Alan. Let's see. Alan says, think about how you're going to leverage technology for the rest of the year. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I am constantly looking at the tools that I have and saying, how can I utilize these tools better? Like one of the tools I was working on this weekend quite a bit was Basecamp. Basecamp is actually a project management software, but I use it to keep track of a lot of different projects that I need to be working on. And I realized I wasn't using it up to my full capabilities. So I've been watching some videos online, going out and reading some blog posts, getting some ideas. I learned, for instance, that you can actually insert these little emojis in your tasks, which I thought was kind of cool. You can find emojis online, which are these little graphic characters and pictures. And so there's an emoji for an exclamation point. There are emojis for like a 1, 2, 3. And so you can use all these little characters to make things kind of stand out more, these little pictures. And so I've been experimenting with emojis. And I wouldn't have just naturally thought to myself, oh, let me, you know, go add some emojis in here. That's not part of my thinking. I don't really use emojis that often, even on social media. So what's interesting is I might even start utilizing emojis now that I have learned a little bit more about them. And that can be very important, is to, you know, sometimes when you learn something in one area, it expands out into another area for you to leverage. Alan says, create more visibility online. Absolutely. You know, I love to find ways that I can share information out there with people. And what's nice is I've been at this for so long, just consistently taking action, that opportunities fall into my lap all the time. In fact, just this afternoon, about 45 minutes before this webinar started, or this call, I got a private message from somebody. And let me just see if I can read off some of this here. So let's see here. Wow. And she's been sending me more messages. So here's what it says. Hey, Rick, would you be up for me interviewing you for my new radio show next Wednesday at noon? I know, sudden, huh? Well, nothing like a deadline to get you going. And that was it. So I responded back and I said, I would be happy to, confirmed it on my calendar. How long is the interview and what is the topic? And then she responded back. So I'm going to just type a quick message. So I will follow up with her. But what's cool about that is that once you start doing something like booking interviews, then people know that about you and they will seek you out. And so anything that I do, I always communicate and let other people know about it. That's one of the things I love about social media. Anytime something happens, like I'll probably go out there this afternoon or evening and then say, hey, just book, was invited to appear on a radio show next week, blah, blah, blah. And I'll be posting about that multiple times over the next week now as well. So you know, people see that and they go, oh, Rick is does interviews. And so then it just plants that seed for the future. So if they have an opportunity or if they hear about an opportunity, they will pass that along to me. Alan says, using technology is repeatable and adaptable. Yeah, absolutely. You know, once you learn how to leverage a technology tool, you can do it over and over and over. And so you don't have to keep reinventing the wheel. You don't have to keep, learning new things. I mean, I'm not saying don't learn new things. I do recommend that you learn new things. But if you have something that works, keep doing it. So I find it interesting that so many people try things, maybe do it once, twice, or three times, and then they give up. And I just keep doing. I just keep repeating. And it's funny because some people will say things like, oh, teleseminars don't work. I'm like, oh, really? They're like, yeah, I tried that once. Doesn't work. I'm like, well, that's interesting because one day I did a teleseminar and I generated 42 sales. Does it work? Yeah, I think it does. So I think sometimes people just put a block in their mind that something is not going to work for them, and that prevents them from taking action. And really, that's just a mindset. They've established a limiting belief for themselves. And so instead of creating limiting beliefs, why not create empowering beliefs? Why not create a belief that's going to help you to achieve results? And I think to really give any strategy a good attempt, you've got to do it at least a dozen times. You know, I wouldn't give up on teleseminars or webinars until you've done, each one of those at least a dozen times. You know, optimize. And that's one of the things I do. I go back and I continue optimizing my presentation, optimize all aspects of the sales process. And that helps to generate results. Alan says, keep doing the things that produce results. Yeah, absolutely. I was talking to one of my clients on the phone one day, and she said, my sales are down this year. And so I started asking some questions, and we started talking about, what were the things that you've been doing over the last couple of years. And then all of a sudden, I could just hear a change in the tone of her voice. And she said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. I just realized I stopped doing my live events. I had been doing these live events, every month or so. And what that was doing, she wasn't generating sales directly at the events, but she would get sales as a follow-up to the events. Like the sales would come in 2 or 3 months after the events. And she said, I stopped doing those events. I had all these other things going on in my business, and I stopped doing it, and my pipeline dried up. And once she had that realization, then she realized, oh, my gosh, I need to start doing events again. So if you have things that are working for you, then continue doing them. And that just happens sometimes. I mean, it's a good idea really to, write out, what are the things that you do in your business? What is your process? How often do you do things? And periodically go back and review that, because it could be that you might just let something go without even realizing it. And I've had, you know, certain things in my business that I've let go over time, and then I realized, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not producing the results that I was before. What happened? Oh yes, I changed this. I stopped doing that, and then I get more clear about it. Alan says webinars are one-to-many presentations. Yes, you can also do a web meeting one-on-one as well. I've done that in some cases too. That's great, where you can just be on the phone with somebody, and you can show your screen so they can see what's on there. Alan says, what are you doing to add value? Share information. Build trust and rapport. Yeah, absolutely. You know, check in with yourself. Are you creating new content? Are you sharing content? You know, it's very easy to just, like, stop doing things. I mean, I have some pretty busy days. Like yesterday, I started working at about, I think I started working probably about 8:30 yesterday morning. And, you know, I took time for lunch, and I took time for dinner during the day, but I basically worked until midnight. I ended my day at midnight. So that's about a, let's say if we round it up to 8, that would be 4, it would be 12, 16 hours. So let's call it 15 and a half hours. Well, let's take out an hour for dinner, that would be 14 and a half, take out a half an hour for lunch, so 14 hours. So we'll call that a 14-hour day yesterday. That's a pretty long day. Not all my days are 14-hour days, but I do have quite a few days that are somewhere between 8 to 12 hours. And I'm doing stuff, like every minute of the day. I've got something I'm doing. I have a number of things that I'm working on. Yesterday I was doing a lot of things related to email. Today, one of the things that I implemented, I was teaching a webinar earlier today, and I was teaching a strategy on publishing out on LinkedIn. So today I published 2 articles on LinkedIn. Now, this is the first time I've ever published an article on LinkedIn. I do a lot of posts out on LinkedIn, like, you know, putting updates out there, but I haven't actually published an article on LinkedIn before. But I got 2 of them done today. And guess what? I'll probably get another 4 done here in the next month. Once I do something, once I see the value of it, then I tend to do it over and over and over. And I think you have to jump in and leverage opportunities that are out there, because some of those opportunities will disappear over time. And I've seen many different opportunities disappear. In fact, we talked about setting up Facebook events earlier. One of the things that's changed related to Facebook events over the years is that you used to be able to invite all of your friends to a Facebook event, but Facebook changed it. Now you can only invite 500 of your friends. So I have 4,100 friends. So in the past, I could have invited them all to an event. Now I can only invite 500. Fortunately, I've been doing events all this time, so I was able to do it while I could, and then over time, then you know, it's dropped in value. So the good news is that's true for your competitors as well. So while it's a disadvantage for you, it's also a disadvantage for your competitors. So your competitors aren't necessarily getting a jump on you on that. Alan says, live events can produce better results. Yeah, that's been my experience. There's some people that have mastered doing like automated webinars and other technology tools like that. And that's something that I want to explore in the future. Sometimes I will send out a replay email, and I've had sales come in on that as well. In fact, I just had one within the last couple weeks. Alan says, always have an upcoming event to invite people to. Exactly. It's the Michael Port quote. And he says, take the time and energy to create a good presentation that you can use over and over again. Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you create that presentation, the number one, focus on completion, not perfection. I've done a lot of webinars and teleseminars where all I had was like a detailed outline, and I just kind of winged it. And then over time, I went back and I improved my presentation. And so you don't have to have a perfect presentation. You just have to get it going. Here's the thing. You have to think that when you first do a presentation, you're only going to reach a fraction of your audience. You're probably going to have to host that webinar, say, you know, 12 times anyway, just to try to reach a majority of your audience. And you'll never reach everybody. Nobody's going to sign up for everything. And some people never sign up for anything. Alan says, take the time and energy to create a good presentation. I already read that one. Sorry about that. Alan says, webinars, what to use? Rick uses GoToWebinar platform plus PowerPoint presentation to show. Right. Know the different technology tools that you're going to need. Alan says, have a registration page for people to sign up and have an email campaign to promote. Yes. So, you know, writing an email message to invite people to event, to an event, that's kind of, I like it. I think it's a fun process. I try to add a little bit of value in the emails that I send out about events, but mainly it's just sharing the details about what they're going to learn. And usually if you're going to do that, you want to start off and really kind of share something in the beginning that gets them interested in what you're going to talk about. And then you want to spend the rest of the time just encouraging them to register or sign up. And then in an email like that, I usually include the call to action multiple times. And I'll usually change up the language. I'll say something like, click here to sign up, click here to register, register now, click here, grab a spot for the webinar, whatever. So I've got like, you know, six or seven different kind of phrases that I use. And then I would include the same link going out to the same registration page each time. You know, a lot of marketing is just a formula. You can change up things from time to time, but if you do things often enough, it just becomes a formula and it becomes a system. Alan says, have a registration page for people to sign up. Oh, I already read that one. Sorry about that. My eyes are getting tired here. Alan says, doing a webinar, it takes practice. Learn how the program works, what the buttons do, get familiar with it. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, there's a lot of different options, and you know what happens with a lot of technology tools is you look at them and you see all these things, you go, oh my gosh, this is going to be impossible to learn. Well, you know, it's the 80-20 rule. You only need 20% of the features of a webinar tool to actually host the webinar. The 80% of it you'll never do anything with. So don't get upset when you see all the different things that are there. What you want to do is to focus on figuring out what is the 20%. I need to know how to start the webinar. I need to know how to show my screen and how to stop showing my screen and then how to show it again. I need to know how to start the recording and how to stop the recording. I need to know how to mute myself. I need to know how to show my slides and how to, check for questions. Like in GoToWebinar, there's a chat feature. So I might have people responding to me on social media and also contacting me through GoToWebinar as well. Alan says, practice the presentation in a test webinar. You don't want to have to think of too many things at once. It's a good idea to practice and go through it, because if you have a technology project, a technology issue, and you haven't gone through the webinar, then you're just trying to figure out how to do the webinar. If you've gone through the webinar, then you'll know what to say. And again, you know, for some people, it might take them just once to go through it and practice. Others might take three or four times. And really, every time you do a webinar, you're practicing. And you're working on it and you're making an improvement. Eric Laughlin calls it doing a repetition. You got to get another repetition in, get a rep in. Alan says you have to talk, change slides, maybe reading comments in social media, dealing with technical issues all at the same time. Yeah, I call it like walking and chewing gum. You know, you have to be able to do multiple things at once. And, you know, it will get to a point where it's easy as walking and chewing gum, but it's going to take some time to get there. And so get your repetitions in. Alan says, keep talking, even when there's an issue. Dead air makes people tune out and leave. It disconnects people. Absolutely. Even if it's just, maybe you do acknowledge that you have a problem, and, you know, as you're troubleshooting, you just kind of keep popping a phrase in. And here's another tip, too. One of the things that I will often do is I'll give people an assignment. So have a couple exercises or assignments that you can give people. Like what I'll do is I'll say something like, I want to give you an opportunity to promote your business while we're on the webinar. So go out to my Facebook page and post a link out to your website. And so I might hold on to that and wait, and if there is a problem, then I will share that. I'll say, oh, shoot, I need to do this or that, so let me go ahead and give them the assignment. And then I'll give them the assignment, and then they're going out and posting that. Sometimes when I do that, not so much on my free webinars, but like if I'm doing a training webinar for clients, I'll often set a timer. But if I'm doing a free webinar, then I might just say, okay, I'm going to give you a minute to do that. And even during that minute, I might still pop back occasionally because, you know, sometimes people will like get up and leave the room and come back. And if they don't hear anything, they'll kind of assume that, oh, there's a problem with the webinar. Somebody just drop out of it. So you want to kind of keep coming back every now and then and saying, if you stepped away for a moment, we are currently doing an exercise. You want to do this. It's also a good idea to have a slide on the screen that says exercise or something. Sometimes I'll open up Notepad and I'll show my screen with my Notepad up and then just type a quick message in there saying exercise, do this, you know, post a message out here or whatever. It's a good idea if you can even have that created in advance so you don't have to type it on the fly. Alan says, teleseminar is over the phone like a conference call. Yeah, absolutely. A teleseminar is just like using a conference call bridge line. Alan says, Google Hangout lets you host a meeting live on camera. Right, you can show yourself on camera. And that can be a little bit nerve-wracking for people too. So, you know, people are excited when they hear about Google Hangouts, and then when they hear they have to be on video, then suddenly their attitude changes. Alan says, you can also share your screen on a Google Hangout. Yeah, Google Hangout has some interesting little tools. Like, it's got these little things. You can put, like, little, I don't know what you call them. You could put a hat on somebody. It has, like, a little image that will appear on the screen, and it will hover over somebody's head. And even if they kind of move around, their little hat will stay on their head. Most of that's kind of nonsense. I wouldn't mess around with that. But you want to learn how to be able to share your screen. That is beneficial to do. Alan says, something magical happens when you make a decision. Yes, make a decision. He says, decide to do a webinar. Absolutely. You know, just get it done. Set a date for it. You know, start moving toward it. You're going to learn as you go. The way that I've grown my business is I put myself under pressure. I put myself under pressure to perform. I put myself under pressure to get something done. I put myself under pressure to learn a new technology tool. So, when you're doing a webinar for the first time, you've got a lot of hurdles, a lot of hoops to jump through. So start the process. It will be easier as time goes on. You've got to work your way up the learning curve. Alan says, what do you want to accomplish in your webinar? What topic, what content, what kind of offer? You get clear about that. Got a few minutes left in the webinar here, so I wanted to share a few more ideas, and I'll go back out to the Facebook page and read some more comments. Let me share with you some tips to leverage teleseminars. So first of all, learn how to use a bridge line. A bridge line is one of the simplest technology tools. It's been used in the corporate world for decades. So get a free bridge line and then start using it. Start scheduling calls. One of the simplest ways that Eric Laufholm leverages a bridge line is simply to send out an email and say, join me for a call. And so he'll just include the phone number and the code in there, and the people will call in. That's a really simple technique to use. You don't need a registration page. You don't need a success page, an autoresponder, any of that. You just have people get on a call. And, of course, the main thing, obviously, is if you have an offer and you've got a link where people can go out and purchase, you want to have that available. But as far as just getting people onto the call, you could just do it. So bridge lines are super simple. Get a bridge line, practice with it. And I like using bridge lines that have dashboards. So, you know, typically a bridge line will just have like the phone links. So again, that's another technology to learn is to have, you know, have the codes. Usually there's a code to punch in to mute yourself out or to unmute yourself or mute the callers out, unmute the callers. There may be one to know how many callers are on the line. The service that I use has a dashboard. I can go in and I can see who's on the call. I can, you know, how many are on the call. If somebody drops off the call or returns to the call, I know that. It's kind of like Big Brother. I can see everything that's going on. And that's cool. I like to have that visibility. And then watch the clock. That's another key. I am notorious for running long on my presentations. I strive for an hour, but the webinar that I did earlier today, I think probably was about an hour and 14 minutes or something. So I was about 14 minutes over. And, you know, the only way to avoid that is to eliminate content, is to cut back on the content there. And, again, it also depends on how much interaction that I get with my audience. That always adds on more time, so that will often expand things out as well. So, I mean, if you what I find in most cases is most people starting off, they have – less content. I've seen people, they were going to do an hour-long webinar, and they ended up at 25 minutes, and they were done. And to me, that's a little disappointing. If I get on a webinar, and I'm expecting to learn a lot of ideas, and you wrap up after 25 minutes, I'm kind of disappointed. and I'm not really motivated to want to sign up for your offer because I kind of feel like you sold it, you know, sold it short. Now, when it comes to Google Hangouts, make sure you have a Google account, that you've got a YouTube account, and you might experiment with it. The Google Hangouts are actually two different kinds of Hangouts. There's one Hangout where you can have 10 people on it, and there's what's called a Google Hangout, a GHO, Google Hangout Online, where you can literally broadcast through YouTube, and you can have hundreds or thousands of people joining in and watching your YouTube. In fact, the biggest Hangout I saw was actually the YouTube Music Awards a couple years ago. They did a Music Awards event, and they were broadcasting live through YouTube using Google Hangouts, and that was pretty cool. So, I mean, think of it. So it's like broadcasting your own TV show. By the way, there are other tools like Google Hangout. When I worked with Laura Langmire, she was using Ustream as a tool. Now, Ustream doesn't have tools, I think, to show on your screen, but you can have software that will show things on your screen. So there's always a solution around the technology problem in terms of what you're trying to achieve. So get clear about first what you want to achieve and how you want it to work, and then you can kind of select the right technology tool. And then one of the nice things about a Google Hangout, you can invite people through Google Plus, for instance. And what's nice about that is it will actually show up on their Google Calendar. That's kind of I don't know if that capability will always be out there. In fact, I haven't done enough with the Google events through Google Plus, but it's something I would like to do. So I've got to add that to my list to work on. But think about that. You could, you know, create an event, invite your friends to it, your Google Plus friends or contacts, people in your circles, and that event would automatically go on their calendar. Now, they can still choose to remove it if they want to. What's cool is they look through their calendar, and there's your event sitting right there, and they didn't even add it there. That's a pretty slick little feature. I call that a loophole. You got to leverage those loopholes until they disappear. Okay, back out to the Facebook group, and I want to read a couple more comments, and then we'll wrap up for today. Okay, here we go. Alan says, create a compelling title. Yes. You know, sometimes just, you know, coming up with multiple titles and then choosing the best is the simplest way to do it. Alan says, make an outline, intro, outcomes, chunk one, chunk two, chunk three, call to action. Absolutely. Alan says, share a story at the end of each chunk of content. It's just a really simple formula. When you come to the end of one chunk, then share a story and then transition to the next chunk. Alan says, create a script from your outline. Absolutely. You know, start with your outline, and you can even there's an alternate step where you can actually do a detailed outline where you go into more detail and then turn the detailed outline into a script. Alan says, write out your offer to read word for word. It's the most important part. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you script out anything, start with the offer first, because that's where you want to be really clear in your language explaining what it is that you want to do. You don't want to wing that. Alan says, any meeting lets you do free webinars for up to 4 participants. Yeah, so like maybe starting off, if you're, you know, if money is an issue and you want to get going and practice with webinars, then sign up for any meeting and start doing it for 4 participants. Alan says, GoToWebinar will send reminders to people who registered before the webinar starts. Yeah, and even any meeting, I think for up to 4 participants will also do the reminders too. It's just you don't have that many people who can register. But getting started, it could be fine. Alan says, build an email list over time of people who want to learn from you. Yeah, absolutely. You know, position yourself as an expert, add value, create content, invite people to webinars, and then you'll have people who want to come back and learn from you over and over. Alan says, get a free bridge line for conference calls and learn how to use it. Yeah, absolutely. If you're afraid of doing webinars, Google Hangouts, start with a teleseminar. That can be a very easy tool to use. And also, it's easy for your participants. Your participant doesn't even need a computer. They could just be on a phone and listening in. And that's very cool. Alan says, there are codes for muting, unmuting, recording, etc. Absolutely. Alan says, Rick likes a bridge line with a dashboard for seeing who's on the call and when people drop off. Yeah, you know, it just kind of gives you a sense of how many people are on directly with you when you are on there. Okay, we're at the end of the comments. So let me just conclude with this one thought. It's a good idea to remind people about your event. So if you have like a teleseminar that you're doing, you have the one method where you can just send out an email and say, here's the phone number, call in at this date and time. That would be one way. And then you can also, if you have a registration process, you can send out email reminders. And by the way, it's a good idea. If you are just sharing the phone number and code, then send out an email to everybody, say an hour before your event, and say, hey, here's a quick reminder. I'm doing this event, blah, blah, blah. Because people might have forgotten about it. Maybe they intended to, they forgot about it, and now they get the email and they go, oh, shoot, I wanted to be on that. Let me jump in. And then they pick up the phone and dial in. But it's a good idea if you have people registered to send out reminders in advance. If you're using something like GoToWebinar, then it may have reminders built in. So know what capabilities you have in your system, what you can do with it. If it's just a teleseminar, then you're going to have to create your own reminders and send it out. You need to handle the registration process. Oh, by the way, there's another tool called Eventbrite that you can use for registrations. So that could be another option as well. If you wanted to do a teleseminar, for instance, you could use Eventbrite. People register through that. And then that has the capability to send out reminder email messages as well. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for today. So as we wrap up here, remember there's one more call left next week. So join me next week for that call. And take action. Take action to leverage sales technology tools. Think about what tools that you can implement. Think about what tools that you have today that you're not even scratching the surface with. It's very probable that some kind of technology tool that you have, you're not doing enough to leverage it. The more that you do to learn about it, you know, learn tips, strategies, techniques, hacks, that you will be able to improve the way that you utilize it and be able to get better results. And you want to look for technology tools that you can implement that will help you to increase your sales online. So that's going to wrap up our call for today. I want to thank you for joining me. I look forward to connecting with you next week. Have a great week, and God bless.